Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us this morning to study your word. Lord, I ask that you grant us wisdom, Lord, through your Holy Spirit. Lead us to the revelations you'd like us to have on how you've worked in our life, working in our life, and will continue to work in our life in the future. Lord, as we go through this topic, ask, Lord, that you keep me on it. And if I start to deviate, that you bring me back. I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This morning we read a couple sets of verses from Matthew and from Acts. And in Matthew, we read the account of standing before the Lord in the throne. And he talks about how when his servants says, have provided clothing for those that needed clothing, provided food for those that needed food, helped the sick, visited the sick, visited the lonely, that in doing all those things, they're in service to him, as if it was to be done to God or Christ himself when we do those things. And then in Acts, we have an account of Peter at the steps of the temple, and they come across this lame man that had been there for decades, since birth. And he asks them for money. And Peter and John, they have no money. But they heal him in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, Christ, when he came in Matthew 20, he gave us insight into his purpose and our purpose. Matthew 20, 26. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, when we read Matthew this morning, the Lord was talking of accounts of service and generosity. What's an example of Christ serving his disciples in the Bible? What's one that you can think of? Washing their feet, right? That's we got multiple accounts of that, but John 13 is probably the most common one. John 13, where Jesus washes their feet. Now, they'd come in for supper, and their sandals and their feet were all caked with mud and dirt from everything in the day. And the dinner tables that they would eat at weren't like ours today, where you'd have upright chairs. You would sit kind of reclined a little bit around these tables, kind of like this. So they were lower table. So everybody's feet was pretty close to someone else. So I would be close to somebody else's feet and the like. So there was a desire to have clean feet before you sat down for your supper. Now, typically a servant, one of the slaves or one of the other people of the house, would be responsible for, as people came into your house, washing their feet when you took your shoes off before you go sit down to eat. That's typically what would happen. Now, in this group, Jesus got out the water basin and he went to start washing the disciples' feet. And they let him, right? Yeah, they protested some, didn't they? Said, why are you doing this? Why? You can't wash my feet. And Peter was even the most vocal of all of them, right? And what was Christ's response? Okay, that was a response. But in this instance, Christ said, if you won't let me wash your feet, you can have nothing to do with me. And what did Peter say in response? If you want to look, we're talking about John 13, 1 through 17, if you want to look. What did Peter say when Christ said why he needed to wash their feet? Wash all of me, right? It's like, wash it all. And Christ said, well, I don't need to wash all of you. Your feet will be enough. Now, Christ was giving them an example of what it meant to serve one another. Now, that's service. We can serve one another with no money involved. Some examples of serving one another. Joyce is down there working at the general station. Now, Christ got down and wiped mud, whatever else was all over their feet. He cleaned it all off. All of his disciples. Wasn't really sanitary conditions back then. You can imagine what was on their feet. And an example of service, Joyce is down there at the general station. One of the things that she has to do before the end of the day is what? Clean the bathrooms, right? An act of service would be to offer to clean them for her. Christ didn't have to clean his disciples' feet, right? But he did it to show how much he cared for them. That's just an example of service. Doesn't cost a dime out of anybody's pocket, but it shows an act of love. What about generosity? Well, 2 Corinthians, let's go to 2 Corinthians 9 for a second. Second Corinthians 9, verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Now, Grandpa, I'm going to put you on the spot. On Sunday afternoons, we all eat at Pizza Hut. Did you get anything back from that? From when we eat at Pizza Hut? On Sundays when we eat at Pizza Hut, do you get anything back from all of us eating with you? Mm-hmm. See, God loves a cheerful giver. And what we reap, what we put into stuff, we'll get back. You know, just like with what we did over Christmas service, you know, Bertha told us what Alice said on her end. But Mr. Robinson, when he came back, because he was the one that went over to Alice's Hans house, he talked about how he hadn't talked with her for years, and how his kids used to hang out over there, and how when he got a chance to go over there and talk with Alice, they talked about that, and he remembered it, and he got to tell them about what his daughters were doing, tell Alice how they were doing. And he got joy out of that. But how do we know when we're supposed to serve or be generous? I mean, do we go out there in the street and every car that stops and comes by, do we flag them down and serve and be generous? How do we know? See, Peter and John, they went up to the temple, and somebody was there and asked them for something. They asked them for alms. But they didn't have alms. Right? To give. So one thing we know is God's not going to put us in a position where we're to serve or be generous with something we don't have. Okay? So recognize that up front. God's not going to put you in a position to serve or be generous with something you don't have. Now, that's what the man wanted. He wanted alms. But that's not what God sent them there for. He gave them the power to heal in Christ Jesus' name. That's what they had. And that's what Christ sent them there for. To be glorified. So that they would praise God for what happened. You know, as we accept Jesus Christ, we read it this morning, or we sung it this morning, we become a sanctuary, right? And the Holy Spirit purifies us from within, the verses we sang. We've got a piece of God. We've got a portion of that Trinity inside of each and every one of us. Romans chapter 8. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as you are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. If heirs of God, then joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. You see, we have a peace of God with us all the time. The Spirit of God's with us. And it knows God's will. It knows all of the workings that are going on in the world right now at this time, because God knows all the workings in the world right now at this time. God knows who's going to break down on the road in front of you. And he has the Holy Spirit to tell you, hey, pay attention up here. Somebody's going to need your help. I'm giving you an opportunity to serve. He knows when somebody at school is having a really hard time. Or somebody at work, they don't know what to do. He knows, because he knows their heart. And he uses the Holy Spirit to say, ask them how they're doing. You see, too often, we're so busy in our minds, we forget how to listen to the Holy Spirit. We forget how to let it lead us, how to let it talk to us. You know, we may be sitting there going, I want to reach out. I want to help people. I just don't know how, God. Well, he's been trying to talk to us the whole time, but we've kind of shut him out. What do I do? You know, it's good for us to get to that point of what do I do, God, to reach out, because we can ask at that point for wisdom. You know, we have the Holy Spirit, a piece of God inside of us. And James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. If you don't know what you can do for your friends, your families, your neighbors, to the lost, to the stranger, if you don't know what you can do, you've got to phone a friend. The Holy Spirit's right there with you. You can pray for that wisdom. It'll open up ideas you never thought of. Are any of you aware of someone who needs a wheelchair ramp? This summer, we're going to have one that we could move and benefit somebody. We can ask God for wisdom on where that should go instead of a burn pile or a trash pile, right? It's an example. God, I know somebody out there has a need. Give me wisdom to recognize it. Let me know how I can be a part of that. Back to John for a second. John 16. In verse 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. That's the Holy Spirit's, it's one of his roles. It's why we have to have that temple within, so that we have a place that's sanctified for him to be in, so that he can distribute what he's told by the Father to us. Too often, though, we treat it like an email inbox or voicemail. I know there's messages there. I'll check it when I'm ready. I heard the ding. I heard it go off, but I'll check it when I'm ready. But that's not how God acts. When God tells us there's a need, he tells us there's a need at the right time. Psalms 46. In verse 10. You know, we have so many distractions in our life. It makes it difficult for us to hear the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman to a point. You know, when you ignore the Holy Spirit too long, it'll become aggressive. But to be in God's will, to be ready to be doing our part, we got to be listening to the Holy Spirit when it's a gentleman. Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Now, a few weeks ago, I preached on why do we have to wait? What are we waiting for? If there's something on your heart right now that you're waiting for another building to do, why? If there's somebody in your life right now that needs help or needs some guidance or so, and or even that you believe needs a church body, why wait to ask him till we have the new building. If God's putting them on your heart now, why aren't we doing it? And at the end of that service, if you remember, I asked that we do something different. When Karen played that last song, I asked that we not sing. But instead, we use that time to be still and listen. You see, we too often fill everything we can full of stuff, so we don't have that time to be still and listen. When you enter these doors till the time you leave these doors, somebody's talking. We aren't being still and listening at any point. So I encourage you, when we have that invitational hymn, if you feel pressed to sing, okay, sing. But if not, that's your time to be still and listen. You've been encouraged by the word before that. You've had your chance to praise. What are you to do when you leave those doors? Ask God for wisdom and be still and listen. That's what that time should be for. Now God, when he gives us guidance, when he gives us responses, maybe we have a particular question. Am I supposed to do this? How do I know? You know, God's responses usually fall in three areas. No, don't do it. It's not the time. Wait and be patient. Or go for it. Right? You know, the disciples in Acts, we have these accounts of them going from town to town. Acts in 16:7, Paul and Barnabas, I believe, they're walking from town to town, and God gives them a warning about a town. He says, don't go there. He tells them no. And lets them know. You know, you get that feeling in your gut like, oh, this ain't quite right. Sometimes we want to do something for our own good, right? We want to make ourselves feel good. We just want to do it because I'm a cool guy, right? And God's not behind it at all. And we have this sour feeling about it. We thought it would bring us so much joy, but it makes us feel sour. Well, we weren't still beforehand. We didn't listen beforehand when the Spirit was telling us no gently. We went and did it anyway. Now we got the repercussions of it. The Spirit will tell us when, no, you shouldn't do that. Are you doing it in the right heart? Maybe there is something that is supposed to wait. A month, a year, 2 years, who knows? Maybe there is something that's supposed to wait. It's begging on your heart, but maybe God just wants to get you ready for it. In that be still time, he gives you those ideas of how to get ready for it. Maybe it's an idea you have, again, that's your own self getting in the way. Oh God, I want to do this so bad. It'd be so cool. God, give me some wisdom on how I can do this thing. And it's silence. You don't feel sick to your stomach about it, but there's nothing. It's like, God, and there's silence. And there's no response back. And maybe a few weeks later, we get to that point where we're like, God, I just want to do your will. If this is in your will, let me know. See, we've changed our attitude on it. Maybe that's what God was waiting for. So we didn't go into it with that spoiled attitude. And that's the response from the Spirit, is to wait. But then there's those times when your skin's on edge. And you're like, oh gosh. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And you hit it. And you can feel the Spirit telling you, go, don't stop. Do it now. You know, large churches, they have committees that come up with ideas for outreach. And I'm not saying that those committees aren't spirit-led at all. I'm not saying that one bit. My dad's cousin goes to a large church. Now, he's a carpenter by trade. Him and a group of carpenters that go to the same church felt the tugging on their heart. They said, you know, there's a lot of people out there that cannot afford to have the work done that they need done. An example would be my father. Now, he needed his doors widened in his house so that his chair could get through there. He needed a way to be able to get to a shower in a chair. He needed those things. And these carpenters, they're like, gosh, you know, there are so many people that have this need. And they could think of people off the top of their head because the Spirit was saying, hey, this person, this person, this person, this person, they have a need. So this group of carpenters went to the church council and said, we know there's people that have this need, even within our own church body. Would you announce in church that if anybody has this need, just in the announcement, if anybody has this need, to get a hold of us? And the response back from that leadership was, no, we don't do that thing. That's not coming from our council. Now, thank God they did it anyway. They started helping people anyway because the Spirit was leading them. You see, Lucifer can crawl just as much into the church council as he can anywhere else to stop a witness. And if the Holy Spirit's leading you to do something, like with the instance of these guys, and all of them had a unified heart on it, and they could feel it drawing them so bad. They just wanted to help people. It's a yes. You know, the temple, the Sanhedrin, those leaders told the disciples, you know, we don't want you healing people in Jesus' name. Don't go do that. That's not the way we do it here. But they did it anyway, because that's what the Spirit told them to do. Now, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I have ultimate faith that the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. Each and every one of you. And that same Holy Spirit that wakes me up in the middle of the night and says, hey, you need to do this, is inside of each and every one of you. You know, a few weeks ago, before Christmas break, I was asked to do some work across Christmas break. And I told my management, I said, listen, I'll be happy to help you across all the break. The only thing is, I have two jobs. Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and Sunday, I'm not going to be as accessible. Now, it's because I need to set aside that time to prepare for you and to serve you. And I told them, I said, and I'm not going to argue with my other boss. And I suggest you don't either. Similarly, if the Holy Spirit is leading you, and you've got that feeling, God, I'm supposed to serve. Just like with these carpenters. Don't argue with your boss. There are so many things and so many ideas. God's wanting us to listen to. Joyce doesn't make it here very often. She works a lot of Sunday mornings. We drive by there every day, every Sunday. We can stop by. Let her know we love her. Do whatever the Spirit leads. You know, there's lots of people in this community that have lost loved ones this year. Valentine's Day is coming up. A rose on Valentine's Day. Something we could do. You know, there's a lot of people now, when it's slick out, that we know that like reading a paper in the morning or drinking some coffee. But getting out in this stuff is a mess. Maybe there's some way we can visit on a cold morning to bring that paper and coffee to. Those are just some ideas. I'm not saying do them all. I'm just giving you some examples of the type of things that every day we could be led by the Spirit to serve and be generous. And like I said, same Holy Spirit that wakes me up at night is in each and every one of you. We just got to figure out how to be still and listen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how it guides us and leads us to you, Lord, to all the parts of you, to your Son and the blood that he shed to sanctify us, to purify us. To you, who are Lord over all things. You know the hearts and minds of every man, woman, child. You know the past, the present, and the future. And you have the plan. To your Holy Spirit, Lord. That's your voice in our hearts. That lets us know our part. Give us the strength to play it. Amen. It's now time for our invitation.